Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotara Shatashu Srimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudirayat Nashtapraishva Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishna Swadhamo Pagate Dharmagyana Dibisaha Kalo Nashtadrisham Mesha Puranarko Dhunodita Paramananda Pataya Prema Vashaksharayate Sarvada Sarvasevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostume Sadasevya Sadasevya Srimad Bhagavatati Kata Yasya Shravana Matrena Harishchitam Samashrayet. Hare Krishna. Good morning, everyone. Today we are reading from the 10th canto, chapter 23, text 23. There's no purport, so we're going to be flying blind today. Please forgive me for any mistakes or whatever may be there. We'll just chant responsively. Praya shuta priyatamo daya karna purai Yasmin nimagna manasastama takshirandrai Anta pravesha suchiram parirabhyatapam Pragyam yata bimatayo vijahur narendra Praya shuta priyatamo daya karna purai Yasmin nimagna manasastama takshirandrai Anta pravesha suchiram parirabhyatapam Pragyam yata vimatayo vijahur narendra. Please chant. Matayo Vijahul Narendra Aya Shruta Priyatama. and the word for word, prayaha, repeatedly, shruta, heard, priyatama, of their dearmost, udaya, the glories, karunapurai, which were the ornaments of their ears, yasmin, inhu, nimagna, submerged, manasaha, their minds, tam, him, ata, then, akshirandrai, through the apertures of their eyes, antaha, within, praveshya, making enter, suchiram, for a long time, parirabhya, embracing, tapam, their distress, pragyam, the inner consciousness, yata, as, abhimataya, the functions of false ego, vijahu, they gave up, nara indra, O ruler of men. And the translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O ruler of men, for a long time those Brahmana ladies had heard about Krishna, their beloved, and his glories had become the constant ornaments of their ears. Indeed, their minds were always absorbed in him. Through the apertures of their eyes, they now forced him to enter within their hearts, and then they embraced him within for a long time. In this way, they finally gave up the pain of separation from him, just as sages give up the anxiety of false ego by embracing their innermost consciousness. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dhina Bandhar Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutade Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, Hare Krishna, good morning. We're diving deeper and deeper and deeper into this really, really wonderful part of this really, really wonderful book. But I'd like to zoom out a little bit before we zoom in and speak a bit about what this book is and why it's so important that we hear the topics of this book. So there's one beautiful verse that's in the 12th canto that describes the gravity of this work and what it means for us, and actually what it means for everyone. We're just fortunate to be able to sit and hear it, have a little faith in the Bhagavatam, to read the verses that are there and inculcate the lessons. So the verse is Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Srimad Bhagavatam Ishyate Tad Rasam Rita Triptasya Nanyatra Syad Rati Kuchit. So Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi. This is a very, very important line. Sarva means everything, means all. Sarva dharman paricchaja, Krishna says, give up all dharma, sarva dharman, give up all of these things that I've spoken about thus in the Bhagavad Gita. You can reject all of them if you take this one thing, surrender to me. So sarva means everything. Sarva Veda, Veda means knowledge. Veda means the Vedas, but it also means, literally in Sanskrit, it means that which is to be known. So sarva Veda means everything that is to be understood. In the entire world, in the entire universe, everything that is to be understood, anta means the conclusion. Like we hear Vedanta, the Vedanta Sutras, they're very concise aphorisms that explain the conclusion of the vast Vedic literature. Millions and millions and millions of verses explaining the purpose of human life in different gradations, they're distilled into these Vedanta Sutras. So this verse says, Sarva Veda Anta, the conclusion of all knowledge. But it doesn't stop there. Then the word Saram comes. Sara means the essence. So when you take the conclusion of all knowledge, you take the very, very last limit of knowledge, and then you boil it down. You take that cream and you boil it down and you make it as compact as possible, as what's the word I'm looking for? As condensed as possible. Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi. And the word hi is it modifies this whole phrase by saying definitely. Without a doubt, you have no worry. This book will give everything. It gives absolutely everything. Srimad Bhagavatam Ishyate. This Bhagavatam will give this thing. And then the next line, Tad Rasamrita Triptasya. For one who has tasted the nectar, the Rasa Amrita, of this Rasa, this taste that's given in the Bhagavatam, for that person, Nanyatra Shadhrati Kuchit, not anyatra, nowhere else, shadrati kuchit, will he find attraction. He won't find anything else in this world palatable. Now one can say, this sounds very high, I still have some attraction for other things, I still like to do this and that. But actually, if we examine ourselves on an existential level, why are we still chanting 16 rounds? Why are we still coming around the devotees? Why don't we just dive headlong into life out there? Some people who live non-spiritual lives, they seem to be quite fulfilled, they seem to be happy doing whatever they're doing. But we have a gift, which is a little bit of a taste from this Srimad Bhagavatam, from Krishna, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. And so somewhere deep down we understand this principle of nanyatra shadrati kuchit, that nothing else is going to satisfy us. We won't be able to find it anywhere else other than here. So this book is constantly encouraging us, go further, take another step, go deeper, go deeper, go deeper. You have no idea what there is to be discovered. So we're very fortunate. We get to zoom into a very, very particular, very, very special part of this book. For one, we're in the 10th canto. For two, we're in the Vrindavan pastimes of the 10th canto. And for three, we're coming to the climax of the 10th canto. So we're really hearing descriptions of what it means to love Krishna. We're hearing descriptions about what it means to be completely enthralled and lost in love for Krishna, in a relationship which no other relationship can parallel. So on that note, we can begin hearing about the yogic brahmanas and where they particularly are at in this place. The yogic brahmanas, they have a very, very special, the yagna putnis, sorry, not the yogic brahmanas. The yogic brahmanas are also involved, but they're not, they receive some mercy because they associate with their wives, but they're not the stars of the show here, so to speak. So the yagna putnis, the wives of the brahmanas, they have a very special place for us in this story as well, because as one of our acharyas explains, they gained all perfection simply by hearing about Krishna. So this Bhagavatam The main way that we take the Bhagavatam is through the Shruti Kshitapata. We take the path of seeing through the ears. We hear about Krishna's pastimes, and by hearing about them, we get an experience of them. And these Yajnaputnis, the wives of these yogic brahmanas, they also have walked along this path. This path that Parikshit Maharaj is trying to show us, he's not trying, he's showing us, it's our job to try to see it or to hear it. They're also walking along this path. They've only ever heard about Krishna. They've never seen Krishna to this point. They know what he looks like because they've heard many descriptions from the flower sellers that go from Mathura to Vrindavan, because they're somewhere on the outskirts. They're not in Vraj Gokul. They're not close to Krishna, but they've heard about this wonderful, beautiful little boy. They've heard about what he does and how charming he is and how all women, when they see him, they practically faint. They've heard all of these things, and they've developed an intense desire to see him, to serve him, to be around him. And this is very amazing for us because it illustrates, and our acharyas explain how it illustrates that we're supposed to walk along the same path, the Shruti Kshitapata, and we're supposed to eventually come to the place that the yogic brahmanas came to, and perhaps go further because we're also explained about the Rasa Leela later. We're explained about the Govardhan pastimes. We're explained about what to speak of the yogya putnis. We're explained about what the residents of Nanda Bhavan, of Gokul, of Varsana, of all of these very, very intimate places. We're explained, we're told what they do. And in that way, when we hear these things, we hear them over and over, some desire can come into our hearts. Maybe one day, somehow or other, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, Pujala Raga Patta Gaurava Bhange. We should hold this ragmarg on our head. Maybe one day, somehow or other, if I worship it by hearing it, then I can go there somehow, some way or other. One teacher of mine has said that we should take these verses and we should meditate on, we should find 1,000 of them, and out of 1,000 good ones, we take 100. And out of 100 good ones, we take 10. And from 10, we find one that is very, very, very special. And the goal of our life is to jump into that verse. Because that's the point of life in Krishna consciousness, is to jump into a verse. And from there, that's it. That's life. And this is what Parikshit Maharaj is doing. He's hearing about this. And actually, it's amazing. Shukadeva Goswami, he says Narendra at the end of this verse. And our acharyas, they comment in a very, very special way about this word. This simple word, it means king. O king. We hear so many times in the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami says, O king. O Rajan. O Parantapa. So many things. O chastiser of enemies. He's calling his name. They're speaking. They're in front of each other. So naturally, you say, Prabhu, what's your name? Premavardhana. So if I'm talking to you, I may, O Premavardhana, to catch your attention. You know, to bring you back into the focus of what I'm really trying to say. And so Shukadeva Goswami, he speaks Parikshit Maharaj's name or his title many times. But our acharyas say that when he says Narendra here, it's because he sees Parikshit Maharaj is so entranced in the narration that's going on because of the nature of the love of these ladies, which is so, so, so unparalleled, that he says Narendra in order to wake him up out of that trance, in order to give him to the next thing. And the other implication of the word is he's saying, have you seen anything? Have you heard anything to this point that is as beautiful as what you're hearing now? Sukadeva Goswami is asking Parikshit Maharaj this just by saying Narendra. He also calls him a few verses back, Dirga Shruta. Oh, you who has heard for a long time. He says, these yajna putnis, I've had a busy few days. These yajna putnis, they heard for a long time about Krishna from the flower sellers of Vrindavan. And similarly, you have heard for a long time about Krishna, O Dirga Shruta. So you should act just like them. Shukadev Goswami, he's saying, this should be the goal of your life. Eventually to come here. To go from hearing, to wanting, to entering into this thing. So this is the beauty that we're being shared. And on the note of the Brahmana's wives never having seen Krishna, this is very special because the last three chapters of the Bhagavatam, first we heard the Venu Gita, and then we heard the stealing of the gopis' clothes, and now we're hearing the blessings received by the Brahmana's wives. These are all three descriptions of Purvarag that are manifested in different ways by different devotees. So in the Venu Gita, we heard about Radharani and the elder Sakis, and they're calling out, they're going around Vrindavan, and they're saying, "Oh, Govardhan, you're so fortunate. Krishna walks on your head. Oh, Krishna's flute. He plays that flute every day. To do anything, to relate with any other devotee, Krishna's playing his flute." And they're glorifying the Vrindavan force. They're glorifying everyone else, and they're saying, "You all have direct contact with Krishna. And we can't even see him. If we see him, we have to see him from far off, and we have to avert our eyes, because if anybody sees us looking directly at him, and everything will go. We won't be considered dharmic. Everything will fall apart. So we can't even look at him. He comes, we have to look the other way." This is the Purvarag of the elder gopis. And then we hear the Purvarag of the younger gopis who desire to have Krishna as a husband. We hear about this wonderful, wonderful austerity that they undergo because I want Krishna as my husband. He must be mine. Our acharyas, they say mamata is one of the most important things in spiritual life. It's not to be taken cheaply, but it's very important to develop this idea that Krishna is mine. One of our acharyas, they say there's grita sneha and there's madhu sneha. Grita sneha means love that means I am Krishna's. Madhu sneha means Krishna is mine. I love Krishna. Like that. We can't imitate these things, but we should hear about them. And we should understand what is the goal step by step in order to cultivate. So this mamata, Krishna is mine. So these younger gopis, they think, I want to have Krishna. Please, Katyayani Devi, please, Katyayani Devi, you give me Krishna as my husband. You please. And they all prayed this way. It's described that they didn't even speak to each other about what their vows would be in particular. They would chant Krishna's names and they all knew that each one loved Krishna. But they kept the secret within each one of their hearts. I want Krishna as my husband. You please give him to me as my husband. So this Purvarag, and we saw how that ended, with Krishna coming and playing with them, and doing everything that he did on the bank of the Yamuna. And now we're hearing about the Yagyapatnis, and their Purvarag, because they haven't seen Krishna. They have no idea exactly what he looks like. They've heard so much. They've walked on the Shrutekshita Pata, on the path of the ears, until the legs of their ears are pained. They've been walking and they've been longing and longing and longing. When will I see this Krishna? When will he come here? When will I be able to give him some service? When will I be able to do something for Krishna? And now they've gotten a chance to see him. They're seeing him. Actually, this verse is the description of the culmination of all of their longing. It's the description of the ending of their Purvarag, because finally they're meeting Krishna. Actually, when the cowherd boys came back and they told Krishna and Balaram that the Brahmanas, they refused us. You begged. You see, the beginning of this is that the cowherd boys, they were thinking Krishna and Balaram must be hungry. And so they told Krishna and Balaram, because that's the nature of love, we are very hungry, so will you please make some arrangement? But actually they were motivated by their love and they were thinking you guys must be hungry. But because they didn't want to seem, it's the nature of friendship that one doesn't constantly glorify one's friends when they're around them, when there's familiarity. So they said, "Oh, we're very hungry. Will you help solve our problem?" And so Krishna and Balaram, they said, "You go to these brahmanas and you ask them. You tell them that we're sending you. You tell them Balaram's name specifically. He's sending. He wants something to eat. He's a big kshatriya. They'll know. They'll respect him. We may be gwalas. We may just be cowherd boys. But he's a big kshatriya. So you ask and you take Balaram's name and maybe they'll give you something." So when the cowherd boys, when they returned and they were refused, they were quite sad. And Krishna said, you go to their wives. Don't worry that these, sometimes beggars, they're refused. Don't worry that these brahmanas, they've refused you. Their wives, you don't even have to tell them I'm hungry. You just tell them my name. Because he knows, because he's the super soul. He's sitting there. He's in the hearts of everyone. Anyway, that's a big topic in Vraj. It kind of flows with the mood of the pastime. But in this case, he knows their love. And so he knows, you just have to say my name and say that I'm nearby. They will take every food item in their house and they will bring it as an offering. So the cowherd boys, they went and they saw the Brahmana's wives. And actually they did say, he's hungry, even though Krishna said, you don't even have to tell them I'm hungry. But they said, Krishna and Balaram are just nearby and they're hungry. The Yajnapatnis, they didn't even speak a word. They just picked up everything and they just ran. Their wives, their brothers, not their wives, their husbands, their brothers, their fathers, everyone in their family tried to stop them, tried to say, what are you doing? No, your husbands are doing sacrifice now. This is meant for the offering for the sacrifice. You can't go. They just, deaf to the world. They ran to Krishna. They ran towards Krishna. Because that intense purva rag, there was finally some opportunity to, as is described in this verse, to finally give up the pain of that separation, because purva rag is the beginning of separation. Separation before even meeting. Separation before there was even union to cause separation. The separation that comes through hearing. So that purva rag, finally they had an opportunity to break it. And this moment, through the apertures of their eyes, they now forced him to enter within their hearts. And then they embraced him within for a long time. In this way, they finally gave up the pain of separation from him. Just as sages give up the anxiety of false ego by embracing their innermost consciousness. This was the moment they were finally able to let go of this. And we're going to hear more descriptions further along about how this isn't the end, actually. For them, this was the culmination of everything they experienced to that point. This was the highest imaginable, it's not even imaginable, this was the highest unimaginable ecstasy that they could experience. And yet, it's just the beginning, because we're going to hear more and more and more about how this transpires, and actually about how Krishna is only interested in heightening the spiritual experience of his devotees. He's interested in relishing. He's Rasika Shekara, Rasika Shekara. He's always trying to taste more and more and more. He's the highest Rasik. And so we're going to hear about how he extricates that love more and more and more, bringing it to a pitch, a fever pitch for his devotees and for himself also. So this is what I could churn out. I'm sorry I had a little bit of time to prepare. And as I said, it's been quite a busy flurry of days and even weeks. Please forgive me if there are any mistakes here. I'll leave you with the verse, yada triskalitam kinchit vidvamsa purayantu tat yad atra shoshtivam kinchit tad guru leva menahi. Yada triskalitam kinchit. If you saw any fault here, if there was any mistake, vidvamsa purayantu tat. You're all learned Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. You're very wise and you're very deep because you're sitting here and because you must be dear to Kishore Kishori. So please correct it, purayantu. Yadatra shoshtavam kinchit. But however, if you've seen anything nice, tad guru reva, it's my guru's, menahi. It's definitely not mine. If there are any comments, questions, or corrections, they're welcome. And if there's nothing, then Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Sri Kishore Kishore ki jai. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai, Sri Sri Gauranitai ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Vaishnava Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.